This is the Past Lives Podcast, episode 176, and I'm your host, Simon Bowne. My mission here at the Past Lives Podcast is to investigate evidence that demonstrates survival of the human soul. We look at past life memories, near-death experiences, spirit communication, and other incredible phenomena. And this is the free one-hour version of the episode. The extended version is around 1 hour 25 minutes, and to get access to the extra 25 minutes and other extended versions of the episodes, you can join the Past Lives Podcast Patreon campaign. When you sign up for $5 a month, you get an extended episode every week, and for $2 a month, you get an extended episode every month. The Patreon campaign has changed so that previous bonus episodes have been removed and the extended episodes remain. You can become a patron by going to patreon.com/pastlivespodcast or click on the Patreon button on my homepage at pastliveshypnosis.co.uk. Also, when you book a past life regression hypnosis session with me and you are a patron, you will get a 25% discount. The links are in the show notes, and you can find the show notes for this and every other episode on my website. My Instagram is the Past Lives Podcast with an underscore between each word, and on Twitter I am at Simon G. Bowne. Also, there's a Past Lives Podcast Facebook group, and if you'd like to join, you'd be very welcome. This week I'm talking to Jodie Liven about her book, The Happy Medium, Awakening to Your Natural Intuition. Jodie is an accomplished medium with over 30 years of experience, and she is founder of the Intuitive Coach LLC. She is a prominent local and national radio personality and is the resident psychic on a successful television show in the Midwest, Twin Cities Live. Her first book is The Happy Medium, Speaking the Language of Intuition. Hi, Jodie. Thanks a lot for coming onto the podcast.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm excited to be here.
I've invited you on because I wanted to talk about your book, and it's called The Happy Medium, Awakening to Your Natural Intuition. I said to you before we start recording, I find it so fascinating. Some books I read when a guest is coming on, I build up all the questions across the whole book. There's so much I want to ask you, just the very beginning of the book, the first chapter. So starting off, you talk about your paternal grandmother, Faye, and how she influenced you deeply. And you say when she was alive, she taught you how to love. And when she died, she taught you how to be a medium. So what do you mean by that?
So she was, in my life, the only person that I knew would never, you know, out of just not understanding what was happening, she would always do the best for all of her children and grandchildren. And we had an especially strong link. So I trusted her probably more than I trusted anybody. And I had been bugged by spirits my whole life and wouldn't talk about ghosts, wouldn't look at any shows that had ghosts. If I looked at the news and there was about somebody that died, I could feel that person's spirit. And I thought that that person could see me, so I'd hide under my bed. I didn't want anything to do with ghosts or being a medium. I didn't even want to know what a medium was, although I did. And when she died and came to me as a spirit, I started to realize through the things that she showed me that it was all right for me to talk with spirits as long as I had the right protection. So she opened me up to that because she loved me so much, and love does not die. The love that I felt from her is the same as when she was next to me physically, as when she was in spirit. It's just that I had to get used to her being not on the outside of me, but being on the inside of me.
It says that she helped you overcome your fear of ghosts when she became one. So is that a thing? Sometimes I talk to mediums and it seems like they're quite happy to have these ghosts visiting. But did you find it quite creepy?
I always found it quite creepy. And unless I'm working, I still do, unless it's one of my loved ones. I mean, if I'm at the grocery store getting food and somebody's dead someone comes and talks to me, I don't welcome that. I'm not working. And you need good boundaries. I need good boundaries to really pick up what a spirit is saying. And also, I need to have my vibration raised so I'm getting only the most extraordinary spirit energy coming to me. Otherwise, the darker spirits just aren't going to be attracted to me because I raise my vibration up, up, up. At a grocery store, I can't wait to get out of there. My vibe's not exactly high. So I'm feeling the spirit energy of some spirits that are nice, some that aren't as nice. And I just say, no, I love feeling spirit energy when I do readings. That's great. And I love helping people connect consciously with their loved ones in spirit. Of course, you don't need a medium to do that, but sometimes people really feel it's powerful to do that. And I understand why, and to be shown how to do that. It's an amazing thing. Absolutely amazing. And I'm glad I have it, but I do not like to be bugged. I don't like to be bugged by anyone, spirit, non-spirit. I just don't like to be bugged.
And it seems as though you had a very strong ability. Would you call it a talent ability when you were very young?
Yes. Yes. Always have had it. Always felt spirits. They pulled my hair. They played with my hair. They would whisper things in my ear. And I just did a lot of praying. I prayed and I felt like God was speaking to me. And it was really, I was hearing my guides, who in my opinion, they work for God. And so I thought God was always telling me, I remember I was gonna run across the street at like 7 or 8 years old. And I looked at my mom, is it okay? And she said, yes. And I heard a voice say, no, stop. And a truck whipped by, like out of nowhere. Had I not followed that, I would have been on the road, sort of flattened. So I have learned to follow my heart, trust my gut, and use my head. I weigh it all out. If my intuition said, Jody, you can fly, I would have to measure that with my heart and my head. And if all three aren't in alignment, I don't move forward. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So when you were young and you had this talent and this perception, did you feel that that's just how everybody is? And eventually you learn that actually you might be a bit different to everyone else? And did it cause you any Yes. problems at school as well with kids?
Well, I knew things. I mean, I knew things about a teacher being pregnant. I knew things, or we'd get a new student or somebody would come in the class and I would turn to a friend and say, they don't feel good. They have a tummy ache. And sure enough, that kid went home with a stomach ache. And after a while, my friends would kind of look at me like, how do you know that? And a few of them said I was dark. You know, that's the devil's work. And I got really scared. So I stopped talking about it, but I kept paying attention to things. And I felt comfortable with the trees and when I was singing and I was with people that were in a higher vibration. As a kid, I knew things and I was responding to what was instead of what people were trying to portray. And that kind of bothers adults. I mean, I realized it bothered adults when I said, why are you sad? Or why are you scared? Or if a teacher, I'm dyslexic, so I needed special help at school. And if a teacher was frustrated because they were busy and they didn't want to give me that help, I took it personally. And that's a thing a lot of mediums do. I mean, a lot of people do. We take it personally. I didn't realize it wasn't about me. It was about that person. Or if I was hanging out with some friends and one of them felt really sad, I would feel sad. And I had to learn that that was their sadness, not my sadness. And again, that's boundaries. That's why I wrote my Happy Medium books, is to help people learn boundaries in part. So you don't walk around taking on people's moods, and you're just happier when you have better boundaries.
So that's one of your abilities, is to be that empathic, and that other people's emotions, you kind of soak them up like a sponge, I suppose.
Yes. And I think they're mine. And that's the problem with a lot of empaths. They think someone else's feelings are theirs, and they're not. Just because you pick up on something doesn't mean it's yours. And it doesn't mean you're supposed to respond to it. What helps me, the empathic part of me, is to understand that we have lessons in our lives that we're learning to help our soul brighten in color and to set us further on our path. You know, the goal of the soul is enlightenment. And if you are feeling someone else's feelings, you're standing in the way of those people moving forward. They need to have their feelings and move forward. And so if you're taking them on and trying to deal with them, you're not helping somebody else. So it's good to stay in your own space.
Are there times where it's useful to take them on if you're in a sitting or if you're trying to help somebody?
Absolutely. If I'm doing a reading, I am open to everything. I'm open to kind of the fragrance or the feel of people's thoughts. Sometimes I get words. I can tell when somebody's open. I'm open to the spirit energy around. I'm open to everything. And so that's when being an empath is lovely, because I can feel when something hits home for somebody or where they're confused and they don't even know they're confused. Humans are so amazing. We have such a capacity to feel so much love, but we don't always process our stuff. So if we don't process the stuff that goes on that we need to kind of get rid of inside of us, our feelings about something, we carry sort of a baggage with us. And if we can learn to move through that, then we're more open to our love. So if we're not afraid because something happened to us 10 years ago that we haven't dealt with 100%, if we open up and deal with that, and then we're more open to our love and our joy, we're more open to our intuition. It's kind of a win-win all the way around.
And also talking about your intuition, did you say that it kind of controlled you in a way, and you had to learn how to control your intuition?
Exactly. I always have said either I would have my intuition or it would have me. It was overpowering me. And even with good boundaries, it was strong. And I realized that I was meant to work openly with people as a psychic. I was in the psychic closet, so to speak, on many levels before this book came out. I did work. I just called it something else and people knew that I was psychic, but it was always kind of behind the scenes, and it was always word of mouth to get business. And when this book came out and I started being on this show in the Midwest called Twin Cities Live, it's this great, wonderful show in the afternoon, TV show, more people started to hear about me, and I was posting online the things that I was doing. And so more people started to hear what I was doing, and everything started to open up even bigger. So everything I was doing with my feelings and my intuition became stronger. And then I felt a release, like I'm where I'm supposed to be. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. There's peace with this. And besides, it's a lot of fun. It's great to connect. There's some wonderful dead people out there.
Yeah, I suppose sometimes we never think about it like that.
Right. I mean, deceased people are people that were once here. Their consciousness is somewhere else. Their spirit is somewhere else. And their body is no longer here. But the essence of that person is still alive and well, and wants you, your loved ones on the other side, want you to enjoy your life. They really do. And they can feel our joy. So what a blast. We can share it that way.
And you talk also about how there were countless times where your lights and TVs and radios would start behaving oddly when you were around.
Yes, and batteries go dead, and computers start to do strange things. Yes, a lot of electronic strangeness would happen. And when, especially if there was like spirit energy around and I knew it was there, it radiated even stronger. It's almost like when a medium is around, spirits know that medium's coming, and they get excited because someone can see them. Imagine if you're earthbound, in other words, after your body dies, you don't choose to go into the light for whatever reason, and you're more earthbound, you know that there's somebody coming that can see you. And what a lonely place to be, where there's no sunshine and no hugs, and you know, no caramel. And then that spirit can see me, and they know I can see them, and there's a joyfulness in that. Like, they feel good about it. Most spirits do move into the light, and they also know when they're going to be around a medium, and they love to drop messages. And oftentimes they do things that are odd to get your attention, like turn a fan on, and then, or make a light blink, or sometimes they'll leave quarters just to let you know that they're coming, you know, different calling cards that spirits do. Or sometimes when I'm on the way to my office to do a reading, the spirit of somebody that's going to show up in the reading starts telling me stories already about the person I'm about to read. And I only really fairly recently realized how often that happens. It's fun. It's like a movie in my head.
And it's interesting that these things would happen to you, because people who have near-death experiences sometimes report having things happening to them. And it's kind of like they've cross the veil for a certain amount of time, come back, and when they've come back, they've brought something spiritual with them that messes with things.
Well, they're not afraid, so they can see things differently. They're not as afraid to die. I mean, if you're not afraid to die, you really embrace life in a wider view. Plus, they're probably agents of the universe to bring messages of peace to people, because we're so afraid, you know. I feel like one of the ways that I put myself on the map as a medium is I'm more on the mainstream side. So, I mean, I'm a corporate psychic. I deal with people in suits, and I love doing that. And I do private readings too, although I'm booked up into next year. What's fun is to show people how intuitive they are, because everybody is intuitive. So just like you're born, you can speak. If you can speak, then you can sing. And some people have beautiful voices, and then they train throughout their life and they really belt out a song. Metaphorically speaking, I was born with an amazing set of pipes as a psychic, and I've trained virtually my whole life, so I can really belt out a reading, so to speak. But we all have this ability. It's just a matter of being aware of our feelings, because our intuition speaks to us through our feelings. That is the language of our intuition. And it's fun talking about this, because even people listening right now might be saying, because they know they've had a knowing feeling or a dream that has come true, or they just get a hunch about something and it comes true, or they are lost, they can't find their car, and they just allow themselves to walk right to it in a busy parking ramp. Our intuition works for us in so many beautiful ways, and it is a free and natural resource. It is a gift from the universe, and what we do with it is our gift back. And I just love when people start to use their intuition to help them learn to read themselves more and the signs, and so their life is more fun.
Yeah, it seems as though when we're children, we're a lot more open to those things. And then as we get older, it kind of gets dampened down. I wonder if that's because we go into the school system and there's adults around us who don't acknowledge it. And so we kind of lose our connection to this ability.
Yes, I agree. We do. Part of that is our caregivers, be they our parents or grandparents or teachers, if they're not acknowledging it, that's a way that we know it should be extinct. If something's not acknowledged, it can go. It kind of disappears. We don't get the impression that it's good to talk about those things. And so after a while, you're right, we go into the school system that doesn't really have an opening for that. And it kind of goes, it doesn't go to sleep. It just gets quieter. But you can always wake it up, no matter what. If your mind is open and your heart is open, you can wake it up. And it can be go gangbusters. It's wonderful. You know, the one thing is, so you don't want to, I always say you don't want to vomit things out. Sounds gross, and it is.
Yeah.
So if you're insightful, and then you have a feeling about your friend and their new boyfriend, but you don't have a good feeling, you know, don't open up your mouth to your friend. They're not asking. It's their lesson. Pay attention. If your friend starts to say, you know, my boyfriend never shows up, and then the rare occasions that he shows up, he never has money and I have to pay all the time, and that was a feeling you had about him, you can say, and the friend says, it bothers me, you can say, oh, I guess I can see where that would bother you. But you don't have to push it in someone's face. You can just support somebody as they move along their path. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. It reminds me of something you say in the book where you say accurately reading people has never been a problem. Learning not to read them has. Is that what you're sort of saying? You got to turn it off on purpose sometimes.
Yes, and I can't turn it off, but I can turn it down. I can just turn it down and play something else in my head, but I can't turn it off. I'm incredibly sensitive. So crowds can be difficult for me, but I still manage to go into them, especially if there's music involved. So yes, I'm very sensitive. I'm so sensitive that there are times where I can walk into a room and tell you who was sitting in what chair. Now, that's not always the case, but I often can do that. So for me, it's been a practice of learning to hone the skills that are helpful and control to some degree how I'm responding to my intuition. Because really, we have to learn to respond to our feelings, and that's what this is, and to understand what it is, especially if there's upset people around. And there's been, you know, the world's been an interesting place in the last year or two, and so there's been a lot of fearful energy. So instead of going outward into the universe for my energy, I learned to kind of dial inward for my light. And now I can do both really fluently, and it's beautiful. And I talk about it all the time in my blogs and things that I do. And when I'm on TV, it's a wonderful thing to do. If you feel drained and there's a lot going on around you, you can literally dial in for your light. You can feel the love inside of you and just feel it and allow it to fill you up. And then you become that light. And then you're really protected.
And do you use visualization for this, imagining yourself as a being of light?
I do. Do you want to hear what I say?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
I do this all the time. And it's so funny. When I started talking about it and people liked it, I'm like, really? Okay. So I do this a lot when I take a walk, but I do it throughout the day. I close my eyes and I press my feet into the ground and I listen to myself breathe for a minute. And then I say, I am love and light in action. I feel the light. I see the light. I am the light. And I keep saying it, and it just lifts me up so much. So it raises my vibration, and I'm protected and happier. And it works every single time. You find something that lights you up inside, or you think of somebody that loves you, and you feel that love inside, and then you radiate the love you have for them outward, and your vibration is raised. It's beautiful.
And then that connects you, I think you say it connects you to a higher power.
Yes, it connects me more consciously to my higher power, to the universe, God, whatever word that fits for you, for that beautiful source. And in that, I can feel peaceful. And in that, I'm more insightful. And in that, I'm more joyful. You know that sort of buzzed feeling that you get, and it's not from drinking or smoking or anything like that? It's that feeling of being in love with life. That's the feeling. And that's how you radiate light. And that's how you draw the better things to you. So you're not sticky for the icky, you're sticky for the good. Because stuff's going to happen. Let's face it, we're on planet Earth. Things are going to happen that can really stink. So it's you're finding your way through it with as much peace as you can. That is the ticket. And your intuition can help you do that, because it can lead you into an easier path. You know, it can lead you not through the thorns, but through an easier path.
So what is intuition? Is intuition something that's kind of channeled to you? It might be coming from spirits, or is it more of a psychic thing that's coming from ourselves?
So, you know, all mediums are psychic, obviously. Not all psychics are mediums, but all mediums are psychic. So I can feel what was, what is, and what may be. I'm not reading the future, I'm reading the signs. And I can also be open to the spirit energy. When I raise my vibration, I can tap into this big, beautiful bank of information that we all have access to, the universal bank, where all things can be known. And I open up to spirit energy when I'm really opening up. So I hear things from spirits, guides. I feel things from angels much more than hear them. And I just hear things intuitively in general. So it's kind of like I'm plugged in. And like I said, everybody's psychic, so everybody can be plugged in. You just want that clear connector. And so when I do that, I'm very aware of everything on a different level. Things look very different, and yet it's very clear. I don't know if I answered your question or not.
Yeah, it's just this, if you say you have an intuition to do a certain thing, is that coming from within you, or is it perhaps some spirit or some angel or a guide who's kind of nudging you, sneaking that idea into your head?
So when you have an intuition, it feels like it comes from inside of you, and it moves you. That's a wonderful thing. And you can also consciously go up and try to look for information. When a spirit is talking to me, I recognize that, because it feels like it's outside of me, up to my left, and I'm getting information. So that's how I know it's spirit talking to me. And if I'm in a good space and I've protected myself, it's usually a spirit with some real knowledge that I can tune into. So I'm aware of whether it's spirit energy, whether it's guide energy, although sometimes it's difficult to tell between the two because they're so loving, and whether it's an insight that comes. But that's because I'm incredibly aware of the signals in my body. So if something comes from my heart or it comes from my stomach, it means different things, and I know that. Or, for instance, your energy. So I'm not reading you. I have good boundaries. That's not what this is about. But I could feel your energy. There's a scientist inside of you where you like to get all this information and make sense of things. And it's wonderful. That's the intuition I got, and that was enough that you're fair, you're interested, this will be fun. So I scan everything I do like that, and it just naturally comes to me. But when I consciously really open up, that's when I dial up to the universe for psychic information and out for spirit information.
With the higher power you talked about earlier, Is that a kind of, you know, like a religion would say it's God and it's an individual, or is it something else as just part of the universe that you might say it's not an individual being, but it does have thought? Does that make sense?
Yes. For me, it is this spark, this light. It's this beautiful light that is the light of all lights. So it's master of all the universe. And a little spark of light is in you and me and everyone else. And that's what helps make up that light. And we're all from that light. So when I say universe, I also can say God. It's the same thing to me. But it is a God that loves all. It's just this big, beautiful, universal light. And there's an overlap with my religion, with a lot of it, but not all of it. So it's, for me, it's beyond religion. In my experience, religion is a beautiful thing to help you reach that higher space, and it can give you a platform for it and some parameters, but your connection with your higher power, i.e. God, the universe, is very personal. And you can reach that when you know that light inside of you, you connect with that higher light. Was that clear?
Yeah, I think so. This is such a fascinating thing, because I talk to people who've had near-death experiences, and they talk about this kind of, they sometimes call it the source, or, yes, or the light, and it's so full of love. And it's amazing how from these different areas, different people's experiences, that they pretty much say the same thing.
Yes, but isn't that beautiful, and isn't that calming? So calming to me that we're feeling that same thing, and that our natural place and our natural space is to feel joyful. That's not to put the pressure on people if they're not always feeling joyful, but it is to take away the guilt, because sometimes I think we feel guilty for feeling joyful. And it's really our natural happiness is our natural way of being, as well as, you know, feeling the depth of our sadness. Because when we feel that, then we're even happier because we get it out of us. It's a wonderful thing. It's very calming. And in my experience, the people that have had near-death experiences, when they talk about it, it brings peace to people.
Hello, listeners. This is Simon. Now, as some of you know, I have a diploma in clinical hypnotherapy, and I'm certified in past life regression therapy. And in the past few weeks, I've taken many clients through some amazing and healing past life regressions. And I conduct sessions over Zoom, and I've had clients from many countries around the world. Now, when you go through a past life regression, you will feel totally in control and remember everything. And also, I record the whole session and send you an MP3 afterwards. And this gives you space to relax and go with the flow, knowing that you can listen back later and analyze what you experienced if you need to. So if you ever wanted to explore your past lives in a single session, or have an issue you want to work on, you can go to my website at pastliveshypnosis.co.uk and book a free 20-minute consultation. And at the moment, I'm offering a 25% discount to everyone that has signed up to the Patreon campaign. The link is in the show notes. I like it when you talk about how you like attending parties and you can watch the bright colors of people's souls.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really fun to see that. It's fun to see that because it's way of seeing people's joy. Even when it's somebody that's kind of quiet, not saying much, you can just feel their energy. And then I'm always drawn to the ones that are like the sweetest. It's really fun. And you know, when you can see good things in people and you get yourself in that pattern of looking for the good, and not just people, but everything, more good comes to you. You're drawn to it because like attracts like. So, you know, most of us have been in a space where we notice things that are not so great about people. And that's usually because we're noticing things that aren't so great about ourselves. So when we turn it around and concentrate on the good in other people, we're more likely to be able to see it in ourselves too. And that is, again, when you can love yourself, that's your way of strengthening your connection with that higher power, that source, the universal energy. It's sort of all comes around to the same thing over and over again. There's two emotions. There's love and there's fear. And when you are feeling loved and love, you don't really feel fear. And when you're feeling love, then you're more insightful.
It's kind of like the what you feel is reflected back at you.
Yes. And if yucky things keep happening to you, because you're, as I say, sticky for the icky instead of sticky for the good, then you just regroup. Close your eyes, listen to yourself breathe, you know, do a white light prayer or do the exercise we did earlier just to clear your energy. And so you can regroup and be more sticky for the good and then start noticing the good. And, you know, it's not like I walk around like that every single second of every single day. Life has its stuff. I have to keep bringing myself back to that. That's a more joyful place. And when I work with people, I help them bring themselves back to that, their center.
And you have to look after yourself as well, don't you? Because your energy isn't unlimited.
I have to definitely look after myself. When I am reading something or someone, my life energy is used. Like I feel things. If I'm talking to a mother who's lost her child, I'm feeling how she feels and I'm feeling what the child felt and I'm seeing the scene, and it's very emotional. And so I have to make sure that I reduce my energy a lot so I, you know, don't fall ill. Because, you know, then your immune system is off and you can get cold or different things like that. It's very good to always be in tune with taking care of yourself. And as much as I love this work, there's no way I can do readings 7 days a week, all day long. It just wouldn't serve me.
So I wanted to change the subject now. There's a thing you say in the book that towards the end of your senior year in high school, you had an experience relating to a past life.
Yes. Yes. I think I was doing the time warp with, yeah. You know, which kind of tells you how old I am. Yes, I did. I saw this amazing scene of, I think we were sitting around a table and this boy I had a crush on was at the front of the table. I might have changed it a little in the book to like, for my ego's sake, but it was a boy I had a crush on. And I noticed that he was in this past life and who he was to me and who everyone was to me. And it put the pieces back together for me about why certain things happened in that relationship or non-relationship with this guy. And it helped me understand a lot of things with the people around me. And that wasn't the only, I mean, I've had several flashes of past lives before. It's so fascinating. The interesting thing is though, I love past life stuff. We have to remember the most important life is the one we're living, because that's the one that we can make the changes in. So it's best to not over-focus on that stuff, but I think it's fascinating. You know, when you meet somebody and you just instantly love them or you're drawn to them, you feel like you've known them forever? You have. That's somebody you've known in a past life. That's one of your soul peeps. It's wonderful. And it's fun. It's an adventure when you look at it that way. Or if you really dislike somebody, you got to figure out why. You always look inside of yourself for like, what don't you like? And what do you do that you're doing that too? And then maybe it's a warning to say this person might betray you, but you just be kind unless you see evidence to do otherwise. And it's always wise to be kind anyway. You can still walk away from people and be kind.
And do you feel that that experience was given to you in some way from the spirits for some reason?
From the spirits around me?
Yeah.
I feel like my guides did that. I feel like my guides showed me that to open me up so I could start to understand, because I was so relaxed, so I could understand things about past lives. You know, my father died during open heart surgery, and they had said he had less than a 5% chance of dying during the surgery. And so everybody was really surprised. And as it was going on, a steady flow of information was coming to me from my guides and my grandma Faye. And that was her son. So they do that to help you, like guide you during those periods. And if you're open to it, it can be really wonderful. So that information was given to me from my guides and spirit energy. There are times where your guides just want you to know things because it's going to help enlighten you, or it might be fun. We're constantly being guided by our guides. We don't recognize their voice sometimes because it feels like our own voice because it's so similar. And we always have angelic energy around us. So we just have to ask for help. So believe me, I ask for help.
It makes me think they've got a timetable. They got a clipboard, and it was like, right, we're coming up to this point now. We've got to give Jody this past life information. She's old enough. She's developed enough. She can handle it. And so I go, pow, and they give it to you.
Yes. Yes. Sort of as a download or whatever it is, they do give that to you. And isn't it nice to know that that information is something that's going to help you? When I was young and before I had really good boundaries and before I did the training I've done really through reading, literally reading books and things like that, it was like having 9 televisions on at the same time or walking through a library and every book talks. It made me feel crazy. It really was like a bad trip until I learned to quiet those voices. And so it was my voice I was hearing, or the guiding energy or voice of my guides. And so I cleared out the garbage. I cleared out the noise. I mean, I'm much happier when I do that. I mean, aren't you happier if you meditate or just listen to yourself breathe for a few minutes so you can know your thoughts instead of worrying about how everybody else thinks about you or feels about you? You're tuned into you. Things are quieter.
If somebody is sitting, like you say, meditating or having that quiet time, and maybe their guides might be trying to communicate with them, how do you know it's not just your imagination? Is there something, some way you can tell?
That's a great question. So when you think back to a time where you felt nudged to do something or a hunch, and it turned out well, and you remember back to how your body felt during that, when your body feels similarly, that's a sign that it's your guides. Your guides will never criticize you. They will never put you down. They will never tell you you're too small or you did it wrong. They might show things to you in a non-judgmental way, but they will never, your guides speak to you. Fear, your fear can sometimes feel like intuition, and it's not, because if you're fearful, you can't really feel what you're supposed to be doing. So it's that guiding, calm voice that it feels good to hear, the advice or pictures that you get in your head about what you're being shown feels like it'll feel good in the rearview mirror. It isn't to hurt anybody, and it's for the good of all. That's your guiding voice. That's your guides. If it says something like, go hurt somebody or go do something drastic, pretty much not your guides.
And could that be something else that's trying to influence you?
Yes. And it could be, and you could be being influenced by darker spirit energy. You could be influenced by that. And so when you know how you feel, Simon, like when you really just are aware of I'm hungry or I'm peaceful, you just keep account of how you feel all the time. And all of a sudden you feel completely different. That's usually a drive-by or unwanted spirit energy impacting you. And so then you reground yourself so you can tell the difference between what's happening for you and what's happening outside of you. And that's sort of like a red alert, like I all of a sudden feel different. Why do I feel different? So when you always kind of keep account of how you're feeling, it's a good self-protection too. But you know, you can walk into a space and people are always arguing in a certain space in an old house. There's residual energy hanging there that needs to be cleared, but it's not you. It's a residual energy. You just don't want to be a puppet to it.
Yeah, there's sometimes I've been in a situation, and I'm sure everybody feels like this, has noticed this. You might walk into a room and there's two people there and they seem very nice to talk to you, but there's an air, there's something about the room. You think these two people have just had a nasty argument. There's something sort of not right about the room.
Yeah, it's like a static. That's good. That's your intuition telling you that something wasn't right, that there's been an argument between them. So as a young psychic, I would walk in the room and say, were you guys just arguing? Were you arguing about food? And people would be pissed because it seemed intrusive, but I didn't know. My cousin Sandy tells me I used to like sit on people's laps and tell them about themselves. Or she'd say, you just say the funniest things. So I must have been doing that very young. And it must have been maybe a little irritating and also kind of funny.
I need to go back to the reincarnation stuff because I've still got more questions. When you're doing a sitting with somebody, Can you read their past lives, so to speak, or is that not something you get into?
If it is shown to me, yes. I don't seek it out. If it's shown to me, then I'm, because it's relevant to this reading and what's happening for this person, and it's going to be a positive thing for them to understand it, absolutely, I'm shown flashes of things. It looks like stories. I can also see people's dreams that they've had, literally like nighttime dreams. So yes, but I am not a past life regressionist. I just pick them up sometimes during a reading. Before I do a reading, I do a lot of space clearing and prayer, as I've mentioned. And my prayer is that the information that I receive is for the good of all. So then I know that I'm getting information that's going to help my client. However, I have to decipher what these things mean. You know, I'm an interpreter of the information, and the information comes through the lens of my own eye. It comes through my own life experience. And so whenever you are working with somebody as medium, psychic, really anything, we're interpreting what we're doing. You have to jive with their personality, and they have to seem like they've done some really good personal work, because if you haven't done some work on yourself and there's not quite a bit of self-actualization, the energy that we bring forth and that we feel as mediums can really make you nuts.
It's that interpretation, isn't it? I once had a medium say to me that they read so much stuff from trying to get information from all around the world, kind of general knowledge, because when they're sitting, the spirit may give them a certain image and they have to work out what this image is and interpret it correctly for the sitter.
Right. And it's coming like, you know, when you work with cards and what is that? When you make the cards look like a fan. That's how fast the information comes. Every card comes lickety split so fast. And you have to hold to the image that makes the most sense and say what makes the most sense. But, you know, I might say to somebody, it was a gorgeous day, the sun was shining, and explain a situation that person can absolutely relate to the situation, but they're like, okay, it wasn't a gorgeous day. It was only like 50 degrees. Well, I'm from Minnesota. 50 degrees? That's a lovely day. So you have to remember, everything is interpretation. So if somebody says something to you, you know that they're interpreting it, and you can ask them to say more about it. But 50 degrees to me is a lovely day. For a lot of people, it's not.
Yeah, it's the personal experience of the medium. And that's why you really need to work at it, don't you? It's not like you can sit there and just say, oh, this name and this date and this person, and they think that about you and they talk about your life like this. And I think this is where a lot of skeptics don't understand how it works. They think the medium should just be able to just tell all this information, and they say, well, the medium can't tell us all this stuff, so it's got to be fake.
Right, because they don't really understand the process, and that maybe they're afraid to understand the process. You know, I don't ever really try to convince anybody about this. I just do my thing, and my thing can show it to them if they're open. But it's where you're at, and if it works for you. I don't understand things about engineering, but I don't say it doesn't exist. That mind, the engineering mind, you know, I'm not a scientist that way. I don't do computer programming, but I know it exists. Isn't it lovely to think that there is this beautiful, omnipresent, lovely energy, the universe, that loves us, and that life goes on beyond our physical incarnation here, and that we get to see our loved ones on the other side? In fact, they help us cross over because they help us feel more comfortable. Isn't it lovely to know that those are all amazing possibilities, and that we don't just disappear when we die?
And it's that thing, some skeptics are so aggressive about it. Like, they try to convince people that we are just annihilated at death. And it seems like quite a mean thing to try and convince somebody of.
Right. And I always say, what a surprise they will have. You know, or people that don't realize that what we do comes back to us tenfold. Not as a punishment, but karma. We are to learn. It's about learning. It's about growing as souls. So if you think being unkind to somebody is not going to be noticed when you're on the other side, you're wrong. I don't feel that people are punished for it, but they're the evolution of the soul means that person is led to understand how devastating their behavior was to their loved ones or whomever they did that to, because they experience that feeling that they gave somebody by their behavior. So there are all these different things to it that we can't physically maybe prove, but so many people have experienced it that they just know. And so I don't, as I said, I just don't give a lot of credence to people that just don't believe in this, because that's all right. They don't need to. I do.
So if I can get back to the reincarnation thing again, this is something that's always puzzled me. And I had somebody on the Facebook group talk about this as well. It's this thing where if you're in a sitting and you could say your grandmother has come forward, but there's this idea that she may have been reincarnated. So how could she be coming through in a sitting and be reincarnated?
Great question. So a part of our, we're here on this earth, but a part of our spirit is with the universe. Part of our spirit is on the other side with the universe, a large part of it. So as much as we're here, we're also in this beautiful place. And so over time, different parts of us can reincarnate and be somewhere else. And all time is happening at the same time anyway, which is a whole different thing that I don't understand 100%. But I know that there are many times where somebody's great grandmother comes through and lo and behold, she may be reincarnated. It isn't usually true that she's reincarnated as her granddaughter's son. It's usually further from that, because your soul family, the people that are in your life that has helped you evolve, that's a lot of those are your soul family. Think of them maybe as your soul peeps. When they cross over, they pretty much wait for you to cross over so you can reincarnate as a family again. So isn't as likely that somebody from your soul family is reincarnated, although it's happened. They wait for you to be done with your life as well.
When you do a sitting, the spirits kind of return from what you might call the light, this other place. But is there, a guide that says, that kind of thinks, right, this person is going to go to this medium for a sitting. I better run off and grab their relatives so they're ready for the sitting.
Yes, exactly. There are messengers that say your loved one is going to have a reading. If you have something you want to share, then show up. And they have to lower their consciousness, and the medium raises their consciousness, and hopefully the two meet and messages get shared. I mean, the most beautiful, beautiful messages get shared. Do you know how many people are sad because they weren't with their loved one when their loved one died? They ran out to go get a drink of water, or they just went home for the first time in 7 days to shower. And that loved one wanted that. They didn't want to put their person through that. Or they wanted peace and quiet and just to be alone when it happened. And then that person that died comes through and says, I planned that. I knew you were on your way home. I did this because it was a release for me and it was less painful for you. Easier to let go when you weren't there. I mean, and I know nothing of the person I'm reading. Just hearing something like that is so life-affirming and helps them realize nobody's mad at me that I wasn't there. That's not what stays. Besides, on the other side, the only thing that really comes with you is love. You know, that's your companion in this world and into the next is your love.
And is that related to the vibrations? Because I get the impression that, you know, spirits talk about and mediums talk about raising vibrations, lowering vibrations, and it's all about some kind of an energy. But I don't think they're the vibrations that a scientist could measure with some kind of device. But I also feel that the love that's talked about is also some kind of an energy. Is this all connected?
Yes, love is an energy. Absolutely, love is an energy. And when you feel good and you feel joyful, your vibration is raised and you can feel more of your love. Love and intuition and creativity are really much of the same source. It's all born of this beautiful source. And it's all tied together. Love and intuition, very definitely. So when you are feeling joyful and feeling loved, or ask a musician who sings and their breath control is amazing and their vibration is raised and they're happy when they sing. They sing and that raised vibration draws all the other raised vibrations away and it raises everybody else's vibration. That's why sometimes when you listen to music, you feel high, even when you're not smoking a joint. You know, it's a wonderful thing. It's all, that's, everything is about vibration. Everything. Everything you think is a vibration. All your feelings are vibrations. The chair you're sitting on is made of energy. It's vibration. It all radiates. I kind of went off into the Netherlands with that.
And do you find that, say, deceased people's spirits have a different quality to their vibrations than, say, guides do or angels?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Guides are like super even. Guides are, they're just super even. They are never like heightened, never angry, you know, just always this kind of loving energy. Whereas people, we're everything, right? That we can radiate love, we can radiate joy, we can radiate sadness. And so how I know, for instance, if my grandma Faye comes into the room, if she comes down from the other side or comes here from the other side, I know that it's her because I feel her love so significantly. There's no doubt in my mind that it's her. Or the first time I felt my father, the first time, you know, after his funeral, that I really felt it days after his funeral, was maybe actually a month later, I felt, I heard him say, "I'll be back," which he always used to say when he was leaving. And then he called me by the nickname that he has for me. And I said, "Dad, is this you? Is this you?" And then he said something else that only he would say. It was a Yiddish word, a funny Yiddish word. And I said, "Your energy feels so good. There's not any fear in you. You feel so good." And there was no doubt it was my dad. No doubt. And then a few months later, I was mad at my sister Randy about something. And my dad came through again and said, "Yeah, let it go. She can't help that. She's working on it. Just let it go." And I said, "You're taking sides even from the other side." But it's not really like I hear from them all of the time. I wish I could say I did, but I don't. I hear from them. When you will feel your loved one in spirit, if you're open to it, when your family is joined together, or when a group of you that loved that spirit is joined together, a lot of times that spirit comes to say, "Hi, I'm still part of this." So if you take a picture, sometimes there's a bright light in the back, and that is your person. That's the spirit of that person saying, "I was in this picture too."
When people are very ill and they die, so, you know, sometimes people just get very old and they pass away, but some people die from quite a nasty illness. When they pass over, is there a healing space that they need to spend some time in?
Yes, there is a healing space. They're taken to what some spirits have described to me as like a room, and all of their loved ones that have already crossed over greet them and help them. And their guides and angelic energy helps soothe them. So they understand that their body is dead, but they're not. And they understand what's happening. And as they start to understand that, let go of the fear, all of their memories from all of their lives come to them, because their soul is without fear. Their soul remembers everything. Yes, they're helped, very much they're helped. And then they have their life review. But always, and when my Auntie Idy died, as she was dying, she was 102 and a half, by the way. And she had many, many nieces and nephews who adored her. She was not talking for a long time. And then I saw this beautiful room, like with gorgeous ornate furniture and candelabras that were not lit, on these tables with tablecloths. So obviously it was going to be some sort of a party. And I told my cousin about it. And then I left and my cousin took over, and then she called me and she said, "Auntie Idy's talking about the party and why aren't the lights lit and how can they eat in the dark?" That was her welcoming party. That is what she was going to be greeted with, and she was seeing it. And my father and her brother Bill were showing me these pictures, and I knew them. She was also related to my grandma Faye. I knew them. I could feel their energy. I knew them when they were alive. They were helping my aunt comfort her so she could cross over.
And this is something we hear about in hospitals, when nurses talk about patients having deathbed visions just before they pass over. They talk about somebody's come to talk to them, and it seems like they've come to collect them.
Yes. in their time. I mean, they do that to help comfort them. And then we, on our side, help comfort them too and tell them we love them, we appreciate them, we're sorry for anything we've done to ever hurt them. We know that they're going to be all right, and it's okay for them to go. They'll be missed, but it's okay that they're in pain, and it's okay. And so then the spirit lets go of the body.
And can we talk about guides for a moment? I wanted to ask who they are in one way. Are they spirits that have had so many lives that they've kind of graduated and they don't need to reincarnate anymore?
Yes.
But because they've had so many lives, they've got all this experience and they can guide you?
Highly evolved spirits. Some of them, a lot of them were humans. There are even some that were maybe never human. They were from another planet. But we relate to the humanness of them. And I can speak more groundedly about this, my guides and the guides that I've met, looking very human. The vision they give to me is very human, or the feeling is very human, because that's what I can relate to. And so I can get their messages more easily. So they are spirits that have evolved, souls that are very evolved, and their job is to help guide us. They can't keep things from happening to us, but they can help guide us. And so they do. And they're there when we cross over too.
Do we have, it's kind of like we have one guide that looks after us for our whole life, and then other guides come and go when they're needed?
Right. So when you started doing your podcast, another guide stepped forward in addition to your main guide, a junior guide, if you will, that specializes in this kind of communication and helped you grow into what you are now. And so if you have a sister who's going to go to medical school, a guide would come through that is very proficient in medicine. And so we have these guides that just that nudge us and help us and strengthen us. Absolutely.
And it's a kind of a skill set. It's fascinating. And it also seems a bit weird to me because it almost sounds so earthbound and human. Like there's management there and there's, you know, contracts and you've got to do the paperwork. But I suppose it's not like that, is it?
No, it's not. But it seems from what my experience that there are rules over there. Meaning you're there to lose your fear and to see where you were strengthened in your recent life and where you could have done differently and what you would have learned and how you loved people and how it impacted you, all of those things. And, you know, everybody's heaven is a little different. So if you had a relative that was very dark and hurt people significantly, you don't have to see them on the other side. Their consciousness is such that it probably won't meld with yours. So it's not like they're in some hot place, if you will, but their consciousness and yours might not meld. And if you don't want to be connect with their spirit, you don't have to.
Do you feel that there are certain levels or spaces in the afterlife? So some people are higher than others. So they, I don't know if higher is the right word, but maybe higher vibrations, so they're closer to the source, closer to the God, so to speak.
Yes, that's what I was just speaking of. It's like they're not doing those awful things here on Earth. That means they weren't very evolved. So their consciousness is different. So you don't, your elevator's going higher up. And the higher up you go, the less fearful you are, the more loving you are. That vibration, it's like, here on Earth, it's the same thing. Like the life that you live and the things that you do, that's a vibration. You're creating a vibration. And yours might be really different and you don't run into some of these icky people anymore. There, it's even more. There's nothing superficial and it's on steroids where the levels are higher. But it isn't to say you're better. And that's the thing, is that you realize that as you grow as a soul, it's not really about being better. I could meet somebody who doesn't know a thing about past lives and has never had a reading and may not even be aware that they're intuitive, but they're still connected to that higher power. It doesn't mean I'm better than them. It means in my way, I've evolved. This is important to me. This has always been important to me. So in my way, I've evolved. It's funny to me when people, when I was younger, I used to say to my friends, oh, they're not on a very high level. Or my friend would say, they just don't get it. And that was our way of growing into our intuition. And at a certain point, we realized, yeah, there's, it's not that kind of a thing. We're being low level if we're judging them for not understanding. We have to have some grace here and some compassion.
It just means that you're different. It doesn't mean that you're better or worse.
Right. You know, if you're somewhere visiting and you meet a surgeon or you meet, you know, somebody who works, you know, building spaceships, they're evolved in their way. And that's amazing. And you can appreciate that. And they can appreciate that I'm evolved in my way and you're evolved in your way. It's not about judging. You know, if you're driving a Mazda, I don't know, do you have Mazdas over there? I'm not even aware of what cars.
Yeah.
Okay, I know you have Mercedes. And so if you're driving a Mazda and somebody pulls up in a very flashy Mercedes, it doesn't mean they're better. It doesn't mean they're better car people. It means that that's their way of travel and that's all right. They're enjoying it and you're enjoying yours. But it's not about being better or worse. It's not better or worse. But there is more loving and more fearful. In that way, evolved souls are less fearful. They do it anyway. They face their fear and do things anyway. I mean, I feel like I'm fairly evolved. I mean, there are things that I know, and I feel like I feel fear a lot. So for me, it's about finding that happy medium, finding that center, finding that space where I feel peaceful and where I feel like I can reach my intuition. That's my center.
So we're almost out of time. Can you tell us about your website and how people can find you?
Yes. It's theintuitivecoach.com. And what you'll find on it is, well, you'll see links to see my readings, and you'll see links to sign up for my complimentary tools and techniques to help you build your own intuition, my blog, my mini podcast. There's a lot of different things. There's even a link to where Twin Cities Live, the television show that I'm on, where you can see some of the things that I've done, or go to, you know, YouTube. I have a YouTube channel. I'd love it if people would follow me on that. I don't have a ton of followers because I don't talk about it, but I put a lot of good stuff on that. And of course, I'm on social media. You know, I'm on Facebook as Jody Levon and also The Happy Medium and The Intuitive Coach. I'm on Twitter at Jody Levon. I'm on all of it. I'm on LinkedIn, Facebook. There's one more really huge one that I feel like I'm missing.
Instagram? Twitter?
Yes, I'm on Instagram. Thank you. I definitely am on Instagram as Jody Levon, The Happy Medium, or Jody The Happy Medium. And I love, love, love social media. And I do respond. I do not do readings over it, but I think it's such a beautiful way to reach people and feel the amazing energy of those out there. I think it can be used for a vehicle for good. So absolutely my website and also my books. You know, they're in bookstores, and I know that they're on Amazon. You can get a really good feel. I have a Happy Medium book series. You get a really good feel for your own intuition. The first one is validating. The one we've been talking about is very validating. It talks about my experience and spirits, and it gives accounts of readings. And the second one is the Happy Medium speaking the language of intuition, and you actually learn directly to speak your own language of intuition. It really helps you heighten your intuition. So there are a lot of great books out there and lots of wonderful things to see. And I'm also on a show. I'm going to be a guest again on a show called Fright Club. So it's with Jack Osborne and the Ghost Brothers. So I've been on it and I'm scheduled to be on it again. So there's lots of different ways to see my intuition in action. And thank you for asking.
Is Jack Osborne related to Ozzy Osborne?
Yeah, that's his son.
Ah, I thought so. Yeah, that's cool, isn't it?
He's so cool. And the Ghost Brothers, they're actually not brothers, but they are so adorable. And they're funny. There's a lot of spooky stuff on that show. They do things to make you laugh. So they make it less scary to watch and just a lot of fun. It's very entertaining. I really like it a lot. It's a fun show to watch. And it's really fun to be on it.
Excellent. Well, thanks a lot for coming onto the podcast. It's been great talking to you.
It's been great talking to you. Thank you so much for inviting me to be on this. And I can't wait to feel the connection with your listeners.
And that was an interview with Jody Levon about her book, The Happy Medium, Awakening to Your Natural Intuition. A great way to support the podcast is to sign up on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/pastlivespodcast or click on the button on my homepage at pastlifeshypnosis.co.uk. This is the free 1 hour version of the episode. The extended episode is 1 hour, 25 minutes. And if you join the $2 a month tier, you get an extended episode every month. But if you join the $5 a month tier, you will have access to an extended episode every week and the back catalogue of extended episodes. Also, if you're a patron, you get a 25% discount when you book a past life regression session with me. If you want to have a free consultation, that's about 20 minutes, you can go to the booking page on my website and I'd be really happy to talk to you. And if you enjoy the podcast, be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.